Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Sunday Congregation. Now it's down to the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is September the 14th, 2025, or it is the 23rd day of Elul, 2029. Our service today will take on 1TG number 46. The sermon is the servants of the Yahweh and the gathering time, text for prayer, entitled Founded Upon a Rock by Ellen G. White, Mount of Blessing, page 211, where the people had been deeply moved by the words of the Yeshua, where his words had struck at the very root of their former ideas and opinions. To obey his teaching would require a change in all of their habits of the thought and action. It would bring them into the collision with their religious teachers. Since the teachings of the Yahshua require a change in the thought and action, we should not be surprised if that is what his message of today would require of us. Let us conclude today's reading by turning to page 216. He who, like the Jews in the Yahshua's day, builds on the foundation of the human idea and opinions of the form and ceremonies of the man's invention on any works that he can do independently of the grace of the Yahshua, is erecting his structure of the character upon the shifting sand. For the fierce tempest of the temptation will sweep away the soundy foundation and leave his house erect on the shores of time. Let us pray for the Yahshua to help us make sure that the foundation of our faith is built upon the Yahshua's word, the solid rock, that we might know that anything short of it will sooner or later fall, that we let the Yahshua have his way in us, that we let him change our habits and practices from what they are to what they ought to be. End of prayer thought. All right. The regular sermon once again is the servants of the Yahweh in the gathering time. Okay, it says E.T. Hollis about 1947. We are to study the 49th chapter of Isaiah. This chapter points out the servants of the Yeshua and the gathering time, their racial lineage, and their need for the territorial expansion. We shall begin to study with the first three verses, Isaiah 49:1-3. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. For the Yahshua has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand. Hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft in his quiver? Hath he hid me and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. For the spirit of the Yahshua and the person of Israel, through the prophet Isaiah, declares that Israel was born for no other reason than to be the Yahshua's servant, and urges that this fact must now be made known throughout the world, even unto the isles of the sea. Since Jacob himself was dead long before the Isaiah the prophet wrote, the truth clearly stands out that the spirit of the Yahshua in the scripture speaks and personally unto Jacob himself, verily unto his descendants, also unto those who unto whom this truth is made known, and who now bear the responsibility for the broadcasting of it far and wide. Plainly then, the people in whom the Yahshua is to be glorified, and who will again bring Jacob unto him, Isaiah 49:3-5, are themselves also to be made known internationally, for they are those who finish their gospel work, teaching the plan of salvation above the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua of the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20. As the very last unto them, the Yahshua gives a mouth as sharp as a sword. These are to be his servants during the gathering of the people, the day in which Yahshua is glorified. They're being hid, as it were, in his quiver, connotes that their coming into the limelight is to be a complete surprise unto all. For the first time, the world is to learn that these servants of the Yahshua are the tail end of the Jacob's descendants, his hidden servants, those who are to gather his people even from the isles of the sea. Again, it is written, in the last solemn work, two great men will be engaged, for they are self-sufficient, independent of Yahshua, and he cannot use them. For Yahshua has a faithful service here, and the tricky time will be disposed unto the view. For there are precious ones now hidden, who have not bowed the knee unto the Baal, for they have not had the light that has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you. Only it may be under or with a rough and uninviting exterior, that the pure brightness of a genuine Christian character will be revealed. This morning, Isaiah 49:4. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Yahshua, and my work with my Yahshua. At the outset of their labor, the results must be such as for the bringing almost of a complete discouragement, for they nevertheless know that they are appointed by the Yahshua, and so they leave their judgment, their work, and success with him, Isaiah 49:5. And now saith the Yahshua, that formed me from the womb to be his servant for the bringing of the Jacob again unto him, though Israel be not get it, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Yahshua, and my Yahshua shall be my strength. For there in encouragement, they are told that even though Israel be not gathered, he will, however, be gathered. Yet they shall be glorious in the eyes of the Yahshua, and your shoes shall be their strength, since they are now, not at another time, verily in the day that this prophecy is fulfilled, call for the brain of the Jacob unto the Yahshua again. It shows that the Jacob, the people of the Yahshua in their Jacobite state, must have departed from the Yahshua, and now they must be brought back unto him by a mighty revival and reformation. Isaiah 49:6, and he said, it is a light thing if thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of the Jacob and to restore the preserved of the Israel. I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. For this scripture had as its type the time when the apostles were finally instructed to preach the gospel unto the Gentiles as well as unto the Jews. Now for the raising up of the tribes of Jacob is first to raise up the first fruits, the 144,000. 12,000 out of each tribe of the Israel, Revelation 7:3. Moreover, to be a light and a salvation unto the ends of the earth means that these latter day servants of the Yahshua are to finish the gospel work, are to preach the gospel of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, and that set up in the days of these kings, as Daniel 2:44-45, and all of the world for a witness unto all of the nations. And thus bring the end, Matthew 24:14. It is our privilege, therefore, not only for the bringing of the light of the Yahshua unto the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, where the first fruits of the 144,000, Revelation 14:4, of the great spiritual harvest are, verily, even for the bringing of the same light unto the second fruits, unto the great multitude that are gathered out of all the nations, a multitude which no man can number, Revelation 7:9. Those who are thus privileged are as the Yahshua himself, those who are thus privileged are as the Yahshua himself, with the testifying that the descendants of the Jacob as the lost tribe of the Israel, who are now coming unto the light. Isaiah 49:7, thus saith the Yahshua, the Redeemer of the Israel, and his Holy One, unto him whom man despises, unto him whom the nation abhorreth, unto a servant of the rulers. For the king shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Yahshua that is faithful, and the Holy One of the Israel, and he shall choose thee, the house of David, and for Elijah David. And Yahshua is the one that chooses us, and he sits upon the throne of this antithetical David throne, where the 144,000 are gathered into it. But Yahshua is here seen, and for the speaking unto a people whom men despise, unto them whom the nation abhors, unto the servants of the rulers, unto laymen, not unto the denominationally recognized ministry. For this servant of the Yahshua, as the scriptures makes clear, is despised and abhorred as much as was the Yahshua himself when he was here on earth 2,000 years ago. The hate then that is heaped upon us by our Lady sin present, but not be a discouragement unto us, but rather a great encouragement and why? Because the Spirit of Yahshua himself testifies that we are the servants of Yahshua for this time, that he is to bless our work, so much so that even kings shall see our rising and princes also shall come and worship, says, thus saith Yahshua, Isaiah 49:8. In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of the salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for the establishing of the earth, for the causing to inherit the desolate heritages. For the Yahshua has heard us in the probationary time of this 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, the harvest time, the judgment of the living time, a time in which we can be sealed and be preserved for a covenant of the people, for the establishing of the earth, for the inheriting of the desolate heritage, for the restoring all things. Isaiah 49:9. That thou mayest say unto the prisoners, go forth unto them that are in darkness, show yourselves, they shall feed in their ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. For it matters not whether Yahshua's people be, nor under what circumstances they be placed. They shall nevertheless all hear his servants proclaiming the year of the final jubilee, and all are to be let out free, all are to share the great ever-increasing spiritual feast. Isaiah 49:10-11, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun shine or smite them, for he that has mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of the water shall he guide them, and I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. For the Yahshua here is with the guarantee that now, in the gathering time, there shall be no obstruction of any kind, that he is a master of the situation. Isaiah 49:12. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Shinar. For the Yahshua's highway shall be filled and exalted, and a multitude gathered from the four corners of the earth shall safely walk therein. Isaiah 49:13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountain, for the Yahshua has comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Not that the Yahshua will comfort his people, but that he has already comforted them. He has filled them with the truth. Isaiah 49:14. For Zion said, the Yahshua has forsaken me, and my Yahshua has forgotten me. Before they are sealed, those who are to be the inhabitants of Zion, the 144,000, think that the Yahshua has forsaken them. For the Yahshua has answered unto them, though is this, Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her second child, as she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Even though some, rather than praying for the reestablishment of the Zion, are actually praying against it, nevertheless they also will soon find out that the Yahshua is entirely for it. Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. My walls are continually before me. From all the natural appearances, it seems that the Yahshua has forgotten Zion, for as a place of his earthly throne, that he has left his enemies for the abusing of his people and for the defacing of the Zion exalted hill. But the Yahshua himself assures that for the Zion's sake and for her people's freedom was he nailed on the cross. Isaiah 49:17, for the children shall make haste, thou destroyest, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. For the Zion's children shall be anxious to get unto her, for her enemies as the sinners will be driven away from her. Isaiah 49:18-19. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come unto thee. As I live, saith the Yahshua, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thou waste in thy desolate places, and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by the reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. For the word behold calls for the attention unto a goodly number of the precious souls already preparing to come. In them shall the Yahshua's servants glory. Moreover, in spite of the great number of the unrepentant sinners that ought to be taken away, the land shall even then be too narrow because of the great incoming multitude. Isaiah 49:9. For the children which thou shalt have, after thou hast lost the other, shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me, give place unto me that I may dwell. From this verse we gather that the children which Zion shall lose are those who refuse to be converted. Her loss, though, is to be replaced with a great number from all the other nations, and thus shall the land become too narrow. For the verses that follow reaffirm this view. Isaiah 49:21-23. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me of thee, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up thee? Behold, I was left alone. Those, where had they been? Thus saith the Yahshua, behold, I will lift up mine hand unto the Gentiles, and sit at my standard unto the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens to thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down unto thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Yahshua, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Though we may now be either healed or hated or unknown. Let's read that again. Though we may now be either hated or unknown, for the day is coming when we shall be comforted, for the great men of the earth shall then lick up the dust of our feet. Isaiah 49:24-25. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith Yahshua, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contended with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children. His power, no power, let's do it again. For no power in the world shall any longer be able to hold the Yeshua's people down in the dust. Isaiah 49:26. And I will beat them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with the sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Yeshua, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, as the mighty one of Jacob. For our enemies shall kill one another with as great a zeal as if they had filled themselves with the sweet wine. Then those that remain shall recognize that the Yeshua, as the mighty one of the Jacob, is our Savior and Redeemer. So shall we therefore still, then shall we therefore, let's do it again. Shall we therefore still sleep on, or shall we arise in the righteousness of the Yeshua and get ready for the meeting of the Yeshua and to be with him in his everlasting kingdom of the heaven that sit up here in the last days? Daniel 2:44-45, here in this first parabolic hour, the last probationary hour of Earth's history, in the time of the harvest of the judgment of the living, for your opportunity and the time of your decision is now come and cannot be put off. You must take a firm and active stand with this layman's movement and this, the work of which is this first for the church, then for the world. So this last movement for Israel is a layman's movement. This brings the end of our study for this study. I will now close. Okay, our second part of our study for this hour, Jacob's time of the trouble, Judah and Israel going home. This is in Time of Greetings, Volume 1, Number 47, by the Vichy Harlot. Text for prayer, Yahshua's merciful plea. I shall read for the Man of the Blessing, 217, Ellen G. White. But today, mercy pleads with the sinner. As I live, saith to Yahshua, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? For the voice that speaks unto the impenitent today is the voice of him who in the heart anguish exclaims as he beheld the city of his love, O Yerusalem, Yerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto her. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her own brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate in Jerusalem. For Yahshua beheld a symbol of the world that had rejected and despised his grace. For he was weeping, O stubborn heart, for you, even when the Yahshua's tears were shed upon the mount, Jerusalem might yet have been repented and escaped her doom. For a little space, the gift of the heaven still awaited her reception. So, O heart, unto you Yahshua is still speaking in the accents of love. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of the salvation. For we should pray that we gladly respond unto the Yahshua's merciful plea, that we realize that his aim It is for the saving us from the eternal ruin that we should respond now in the day of the salvation that we know He is pleading for us today as He pled for the Irishman. At the time of His first advent, that the door of our hearts be and never closed unto Him. Okay. Now, rest in the present. That's a long present. Jacob's time of the trouble. Judah and Israel going home. Text of Advent, 50 Hollis, June 28, 1947. We are now to continue the same subject which we have been studying from the book of the Isaiah. But today we shall study it from the book of Jeremiah. To begin with, we shall notice that the first chapters of the book deal with the ancient Judah and Israel, with their sins and stubbornness of the heart, and with their resultant dispersion throughout the Gentile nations. For the 30th chapter, however, of Jeremiah deals not with the scattering of the ancient Judah and Israel, really, with the gathering of Judah and Israel in our day, these last days that we're in now. But we shall now begin our study with the first three verses. Jeremiah 30, verse 1 to 3, for the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Yahshua, saying, thus speaketh the Yahshua of the Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, said to Yahshua, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, said to Yahshua, and I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their father, and they shall possess it. Note that both Judah and Israel together have the promise of returning unto their homeland, as this has never yet been realized. The prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. Jeremiah 30, verse 4-6. And these are the words that the Yahshua spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus said the Yahshua, we have heard a voice of the trembling and of fear and not of the peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man lets travail with a child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in the travail? And all faces are turned into paleness for the cause of the fear here forecast is fundamentally needless and unnecessary, declares the Yahshua. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of the Jacob's trouble, so he shall be saved out of it. For the people that have come unto this antipical time of the trouble are returning unto the homeland and comforted, and are comforted. Apparently it is bad enough to fight and all, but the Yahshua's encouraging counsel is fear not. Plainly, the burden of this chapter is with the concerning of the antipodal returning unto the homeland. Though terrible the trouble may seem, yet the outcome of it is to be the same as in the past. Right now, we may not appreciate this study as we ought to, but the time is soon coming in which we will dig as fast and as hard for it as we would to get out from under an avalanche. Those who have but little faith in the word of the Yahshua, though, the study will not do them much good. Now is the time to start cultivating the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10, 19 and 20, that we need to have then. For the Jacob, our type, well knew that the Yahshua had directed his return from the planet around to the homeland, yet he trembled when he heard that the Esau with the 400 men were on there ready to meet him. Besides, he was led to wrestle with the angel all night long. He prevailed only because he would not let the angel go until he blessed him with a final result. What is that? On the Mar East rather. Or rather than destroying. Let's do it again. For the final result, it was and is that on tomorrow, the mighty Esau, rather than destroying the whole company, very kindly greeted Jacob with a kiss and cordially invited him to return home. So when it all worked itself out, Jacob plainly saw that there was no need at all to have ever feared how encouraging that all of these things happened unto them for the example, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come, 1 Corinthians 10:11. That which happened unto Jacob is sure to happen unto us. How comforting to know all this ahead of time. Now, if never before, we should see that where there is a type, there is also an antitype, and that where there is no type, there is no truth. Jeremiah 30, verse 8, which shall come to pass in that day, said to Yahshua the host, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will first thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves as him. This verse plainly says that the Yahshua is to free his people from the Gentile yoke, and that the strangers unconverted shall no more trouble them. Jeremiah 30, verse 9. That they shall serve the Yahshua their Savior and Redeemer and King, and David their King also. Yahshua is under servant. And I will raise up whom I will raise up unto them. Let's read that again, Jeremiah 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Yahshua their everlasting King, and David his under servant as their visible King, whom I will raise up unto them. Let's read that again, Jeremiah 30, verse 9. That but they shall serve the Yahshua, their Redeemer and Savior, and David, and the Antichrist for David as their King, whom I will raise up unto them. No longer shall the followers of the truth serve others, but they shall serve the Yahshua and a King, and a typical David, whom the Yahshua himself shall provide. Jeremiah 30, verse 10. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant David, said to Yahshua. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be at rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. There is therefore no need of the fear, but there is a need for the faith of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, of the new and living way, Hebrews 10, 19, and 20, and the promises of the Yahweh, the Father, Jeremiah 30, verse 11. For I am with thee, said to Yahshua, to save thee, though I make a poor end of all the nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a poor end of thee, but I will correct thee in the measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For the punishment of death unto Israel is their being scattered among the Gentiles, as amplified in the verses which follow. For the time of the freedom has nevertheless come, and for this we should be glad and give the Yahshua the glory, Jeremiah 30, verse 12 and 19. For this says Yahshua, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous, for there is none for the pleading of thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicine. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. For the multitude of thy iniquity, because thy sins were increased, why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable. For the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, said Yahshua, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is thine, whom no man seeks and ask thee. Then said Yahshua, behold, I will bring again the captivity of the Jacob's tent, and I will have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon her own head, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. After having gone through their captivity, the people shall fully realize, for the Yahshua's mercy and his wisdom to save them, they shall be happy forevermore. For he will multiply them in the land of their fathers, and there he will make them great. Jeremiah 30, verse 20. For their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. For the kingdom of the church purified and apart from the world is to be as natural and as real as was the kingdom of the ancient Israel, but there will be no sinners in it. Jeremiah 30, 21, 23. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engages his heart to approach unto me? Say to Yahshua, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. Behold, the whirlwind of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, goeth forth with the fury, as a continuing whirlwind. For it shall fall with the pain upon the head of the wicked, for their nobles shall be of themselves, that is, this kingdom of the peace shall be self-governing with a democracy. For the word, behold, calls attention unto something that can be seen, and therefore implies that the Yahshua's whirlwind is already doing its work. No wonder then that we are now having disturbance of all kinds and heavy loss of the life and property throughout the earth. Jeremiah 30:24. For the fierce anger of the Yahshua shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. For the very fact that these truths are now revealed, and also the fact that the things foretold by the Scriptures are now taking place, plainly show that we are now living in the latter days, for the days in which we must consider the cause of the evils which envelop the whole world and make our calling and election sure. How thankful we ought to be that the Yahshua is feeding us with the meat in due season. Though people kill one another by the millions in order for the freeing of themselves from the yoke of some other nation, Moses have freed the ancient Israel without a casualty. We should now know that faith removes mountains, while doubt ruins nations. We should no longer be fools and slow of the heart to believe all that the prophets have written. Luke 24:25. Believe was Yahshua's motto, and it should be ours also. No doubters will ever enter his kingdom. These things are written that ye might believe. John 20:31. There is the one sensible conclusion that you can come to, and that is to wholeheartedly accept and to comply with all that the prophets have written. Let's do that again. There is but one sensible conclusion that you can come to, and that is for the wholeheartedly accepting and for the complying with all that the prophets have written. Let no one divert your attention from this vital truth and present truth. This brings the end of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. Let us close.